Shalom Aleichem. Mishnah continues for Erev Shabbat Vayera. We are in Yevamot, chapter 3, Mishnah Zayin. Shlosha Achim, three brothers, Shnayim Mehen Nesuyin Shtei Hayot. Two of them are married to two sisters, Echot Nesuyin Dochet, and one is married to a completely unrelated woman. And then, Met Echot Mibole Ahayot. One of the husbands of the sisters passes away. So now this sister cannot marry in Yibam the man who's married to her sister, but she can marry in Yibam the one who's married to an unrelated woman. V'kanas nasui nochrit et ishto. And that's exactly what happens. The man who is married to the unrelated woman, the woman who's not related to anybody else, he marries in Yibam the sister of his deceased brother. Umeta ishto shalsheni. And then after this occurs, the wife now, who was also the sister of the widow who was married in Yibam, she passes away. So for example, if Rachel and Leah were the sisters who are also the wives to the two brothers, and Rachel, her husband died first, and then Rachel was married in Yibam, and then Leah passed away. V'achar kach, the Mishnah continues, then after this, Meit Nasui Nochrit, the brother who had originally been married only to the unrelated wife, he passes away, again without children, so now there's a potential Yibam situation. However, when this occurs, he's married to Sally, the Nochrit, the unrelated woman, and he's related to Rachel, who was originally the wife of his brother, the one who passed away first. So both of these widows are now falling to Yibam in front of the brother who used to be married to Leah, but then Leah passed away. So what happens? Hareze asura alav. So Rachel is forbidden to him, olamit, forever. Hoel v'nesra alav shat achat, because she was forbidden to do Yibam with him at one point. So the surviving brother here, brother number three, who used to be married to Leah, but Leah passed away, he cannot marry Rachel in Yibam, because when Rachel originally was widowed the first time, Leah was still alive. So she was the sister of his wife and was forbidden to marry in Yibam. So too, even though Leah has Nebuch passed away, when this second Yibam situation arises, he still cannot marry her in Yibam. Now the Mishnah brings a variation of this case. Shlosha Achim, Shnayim Mehem Nesuyin Shtei Hayot, three brothers, two are married to two sisters, Achad Nesui Nochrit, the other one's married to Sally, Gerish Echad Mibolei Hayot Et Ishto, and one of the men who's married to Rachel or Leah divorces Rachel. This is before anyone dies. Umet Nesui Nochrit, and then the brother married to Sally, he dies without children. Uchnasa HaMegarish, and the brother who had divorced Rachel, he then marries in Yibam Sally. Vamet, and then later he passes away with no children. Zohi she'amru. In this case, this is the one where they said, Kulan she'metu onit garshu, in any of these women where they died or were divorced before the Yibam situation came up, tsarotehen mutarot, their koef is mutar. Now this, they said, refers back to the very first Mishnah in Yevamot. We were talking about the co-wives of an erva being, you know, totally exempt from a Yibam situation. So let's go on to Mishnah Chet, Mishnah 8, the Chulan. In all of these cases, any number of brothers, Shehayu Behen Kiddushin Ogerishin Besafik, where there was a Kiddushin, again, that's the first stage of marriage, such as giving a ring, could also be done through a document explaining that they are now married. We're going to get to this in detail in Masechet Kiddushin. Ogerishin Besafik, or the divorce was doubtful. So what do they do if we're not really sure that the brother was married? We're not sure that they became divorced. Hare elu tsarot holtzot velomit yabmot. So the co-wife, if any, has to get chalitza before she marries someone else, but cannot be married by their surviving brother in Yibam, because the marriage to the erva, the wife, the other co-wife with a family relationship, a pre-existing relationship, such as a mother-in-law, a former daughter-in-law, etc., we're not sure if they were really married or not. There's a suffix. We're going to see what this means, if that marriage was valid. Ketzod suffix kiddushin. What is an example of a doubtful kiddushin? Zorak la kiddushin. The young man threw her the ring, or threw her the money, or the document, and Safek Karov Lo, we're not sure if it landed closer to him, Safek Karov Lo, or closer to her. Zehu Safek Kiddushin. We're going to explain when we get to Masechet Kiddushin if we know for sure that it landed closer to one of them. You know, if it landed closer to the man, then it never got to her. If it landed closer to her, then now it did get to her, and she's considered married. Safek Gerushin, what is the example of a doubtful divorce? We're not sure the divorce went through. Katav Biktav Yado. The husband wrote the divorce document, the get, in his own handwriting. Ve'ein Olav Edim. But there are no witnesses attesting to the get. We're going to see in Masechet Gittin that witnesses are considered a very critical part of the get. But on a biblical level, it might be good enough to have the handwriting, confirmed handwriting, of the husband, the former husband. Or another case, Yeshul of Edim, the Ein Bozman. It does have two witnesses, has the Edim, but it doesn't have a date. And the sages decreed you have to have a date. You have to date the divorce document for it to be valid rabbinically. However, biblically, it could still go through without a date. Or a third possibility, Yesh Bozman, it has a date, Ein Bo Ela Eid Echod, but it only has one witness. And in Masechet Gittin, we're going to see that maybe you could combine one witness's signature and confirm the handwriting of the sofer, of the scribe who actually drafted the document. Maybe that's good enough. Zehu Safek Gerushin. This is a case of doubtful divorce. Now, it's interesting, all of these cases, really, theoretically, on a bidyevid, after-the-fact level, these should be valid divorce documents on a biblical level. But because the sages decreed that really you need to have two witnesses, you need to have a date, you can't rely on these, you know, very flimsy documents to effect a divorce, so therefore nobody uses these documents and everybody thinks that they're completely invalid. So if one of the brothers, say the brother who was married to the sister of the widow who was falling to Yibam, if he used such a document, even though biblically it might be valid because the rabbi said you can never use such a document to effect a divorce, everyone's going to think that they weren't really divorced. So it's not like a suffix, a doubt in the conditions. It's a doubt because the halakha, the Jewish law, creates an uncertainty in people's minds if this was a valid divorce or not. Certainly in a case where, we'll see in Gittin, where the man threw the divorce document, threw the get to the wife, and there's a suffix, they're in the public domain, and it's a suffix, a doubt, who it landed closer, that's also a doubtful divorce. But these cases that the Mishnah brings right now, the doubt is created by the halakha, by the Jewish law, not by the facts on the ground. And it's a reminder that the Jewish people don't live in simply a physical world. It's a physical world we live in, but we're guided through it by halachic principles, by spiritual principles. Yashar koach and Shabbat shalom.